Okay, this is part two of, did you get the picture? Get the picture. Last week we looked at, what kind of picture do you have of God? Is it accurate according to the word? Did you have to change some things? Did you go to him and chat about it and say, whoa, Lord, I got some wrong pictures of you. I need it cleared up. If your picture of God does not look like Jesus, you probably need to go chat with him and say, help me get a clear picture of who you are, because Jesus is the clear picture of the Father. So today we're going to look at, how do you see you? Ooh, don't everybody go, ooh, at once. What do you look like? Are you lovely? Are you a representation of Jesus? Do you like you?
Yes.
Well, good. I'm not going to ask for yays and nays, because I've talked to enough people that don't like themselves. We hold stuff against us. You might not against somebody else, but we hold our imperfections against us very often. So the word says that he is in me. I am the righteousness of God. Do you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you're born again? You are that righteousness. So I want to just talk about that today. So let's just ask the Lord to speak what you need into your heart. So Father, thank you that you didn't just save us to get us to heaven. You did things in us and for us and want to do things through us, to bless others. So Lord, whatever needs clearing up, would you help us to get things cleared up? Whatever we need more depth to, whatever truth, Father, I just ask that you speak to every heart what they need to hear. It's only you can do. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have found over the years that sometimes I can say I do have that identity and that I do know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And usually that's when I've been being really good. But when I mess up, I don't feel like the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I feel like the old girl, not the new creation. Does that, anybody else ever have that? You know, he wants us to stop flip-flopping around. We flop between the old person who I used to be, and the reason is because we know that person so well. And we know every fault and every failure. And then we get born again. And the Lord says, I want your identity to be in me. We go, okay. I want you to know you're righteous and pure and holy. You're equipped for good works. And it's in here. Because we go look in the mirror and we go, she ain't got it. And I know she doesn't. Because I know her. The Lord wants us to look into this mirror. This is the mirror. If we look in this mirror, we'll find out who he says we are, and we won't flip-flop. And if we do find ourselves doing the flip, we can quickly flop the other way once we get our heart fixed on who we really are. So when you look in the mirror, do you know you've never seen yourself? You've only seen a reflection. And you're believing that piece of glass is giving you the accurate reflection. How do you know that the one at the carnival that makes you 8 feet tall and about 6 inches wide, how do you know that one's not right? Or the one that makes you 3 foot tall and 6 foot wide? How do you know? You've not seen you. You don't know, but we believe that piece of glass. I mean, you guys that shave, I think most of you do you look in that mirror every day? Maybe if you have an electric razor, you can just kind of buzz it if you're in a big hurry. But otherwise, every day, you go into the bathroom and you look at the same face. Really? Do you have to? Did your nose move overnight? Or did your lips drop? Did your face get chubbier or skinnier? It's the same picture. You see the same picture day after day, but because you want it right, you look in that mirror day after day. And most of you ladies, you probably wouldn't put your mascara on without the mirror. Although your eyelashes are in the same place and you can kind of guess where your lips are. But man, can you imagine what we'd look like? Why do we look in there every day? Because we want to look our best. We want to put our best foot forward and our best face forward. Well, if you want the face that God gave you, if you want to look like the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you have to look in the Word. You won't find that picture anywhere else. You can have your spouse, let's say they're having a really good day and they think you're wonderful. What do you think of me today? Well, I think you're really wonderful. Well, maybe you wrecked the meal. Maybe you wrecked the car. Maybe they don't think you're so wonderful today. Is their picture accurate?
No.
You know, you have people you work with that could give an opinion of you. Yeah, you work with some of those. Right. Sometimes they're accurate and sometimes they're not. Sometimes it makes you feel good. Somebody gives you a praise report and says, wow, you did so good. Wow, you just really blessed me. Doesn't that make you feel good, hearing praise like that? It does. We all like it. And it's okay to get praise from people. It's a good thing, and it's a good thing to compliment those that bless you. But if that's all you get to find out who you are and how good you are, someday it's going to fall flat because you're not going to be so perfect and somebody's going to tell you about it. But every day you go to the Word, and He doesn't change. He does not change. You know, if He did not want us to change in our heart, if He did not make it possible for us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the minute we got saved, He would have snatched us and brought us to heaven. I think it would have ruined things for a lot of evangelists. If everybody that got saved, poof, disappeared. But He left us here and equipped us to live here. If we don't understand and clothe ourselves in that righteousness, if we don't know that we're wearing it, we're missing the biggest part of our life here on earth that He did all that for. You're wearing a robe of righteousness. Can you see my closet here? It's got one of those mannequins. It's got a glorious robe of righteousness. Can you see it? You can't see it with these eyes. You can't see yours with these eyes. It has to be with the eyes of your heart. That's what you have to look at it with. And a lot of us have that gift of righteousness, that robe of righteousness, it's sitting on the shelf. Because you don't dare to put it on because you don't feel too righteous. Do you know what it means to be righteous? Not just to have right standing with God, but to do things right according to His standard. That's why He gave us His righteousness. He took our sin and gave us righteousness, was a great exchange for us. But if we don't wear it, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't focus on it, then He didn't get a good deal. We do it for Him. He did it for us. But what we do as a righteous believer is way different than if we're working it all up ourselves. So I would like to look at 2 Corinthians 5. I think you all know this, if you've been around the church at all, you know this scripture, but I want to just really look at it. And I want you to ask you, is this a picture of you? Do you believe this? Is it just head knowledge, or is it really in your heart? So let's see, I want to start here at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. You know, all means all. The whole world. He paid such a price that the whole world can be made righteous. So is the whole world righteous? He died for all, that those who live... Are you alive? Good. That those who live should live no longer for themselves. Oh. Well, that does away with self-centeredness, doesn't it? But we live for him who died and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard nobody after the flesh. Mm-hmm. That's hard, isn't it? You got a believer that you're a friend with or married to or work with or in your family, and they do wrong. Maybe they didn't treat you right. You don't look at them as a believer anymore, do you? You go, how can a believer act like that? We judge them. We tell them what's wrong with them. But we are not supposed to regard them after the flesh. If we can get to that point. But I think the only way for us to get to that point is stop regarding yourself after the flesh. Yes. Yes. We do all the time. We measure everything we do by our standard. And if I don't meet up to my standard, I'm ticked at me. I don't feel too good about myself. So let's read on. Verse 16, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. It means he left. He's in heaven. He's not here on the earth any longer. Therefore, and this is the verse we probably have on a plaque on our living room wall. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your old person, who you used to be before Jesus, the one you don't like, the one that sometimes you act just like, that person has passed away. Do we need to have a casket up here and have a little funeral? Maybe you could see the casket kind of right before my closet with the robe of righteousness and the gifts of righteousness. That casket, can you see it? Can you put your picture in there? You got to see your old self dead. Now, if truly your old self is dead, and then somebody goes and does something mean to you, do you ever try to pinch a dead person and see if they say, ouch? You spit on them, do they go, ugh? You could hit them. What do you get? No response. See, they've passed away. We have to look at our old self and see it in that casket. Maybe throw a flower on it. It's dead. It is dead. Your old person is dead. And you say, yeah, but I still act like that sometimes. We'll cover that. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What are the all things? It's in your spirit. If you remember the day you got born again, you woke up the next morning, you looked the same. So obviously it wasn't your body. Your face was the same, your hair was the same, you were the same height, you were the same weight. everything about you was the same. So what does it mean, all things have been made new? It's all things in here. You've become a new creation. When it says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation, that means, the way the Greek word defines it is, it's something that has never been before. There isn't another you, born again you, anywhere else. You're a first and you're the last. And God threw the mold away to make one just like you. No one can ever be like you. That is why it's so important that each one of us sees ourselves the way he sees us. Because we are unique. We are brand spanking new. Never been. God's got something for us. He wants to have a relationship with us like he won't have with anybody else. Yours won't be better than anybody or worse than anybody. It will be uniquely special for you. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. You ever reconcile a bank statement? The bank sends you the statement and says you've got $1,050 in your account. And you look at your checkbook and it says, no, I got $2,050. You have to reconcile to the bank, because just pretend the bank is God. Because of your money, they are. It goes through enough checks and balances that when they say that's what you got, that's what you got. What do you have to do? You have to make adjustments in your life to match up to God, to the bank. Where here it says that he has reconciled us to him. He says, you measure up. Between you and me, our account balances. It's not off whack. You don't owe me. We balance. Wow. God, who created everything, who is all powerful, looks at everyone. You've gotten born again, everyone, and he says, your account's good. Your account's good with me. We balance. You don't owe anything. I'm just going to keep adding to it. Your account balances. Your account balances. Your account balances. Wow. That's a new creation. That's a new creation. The word, where did I put my definition? The word reconcile, that's where it talks about the exchange. Believe it or not, God, perfect, took, if we could pile up all of the sins that get represented just in this small group, how far up would they go? A ways, wouldn't they? And he took him and he put all our sins onto Jesus. And gave us the righteousness that Jesus has. Wow. What a deal. What a deal. The reckless love of God. We sang it. I didn't like that song the first time I heard it. I thought, who do you think you are calling God's love reckless? He didn't do anything reckless. But I understand what it means. Here's love. There's the world, messed up, screwed up, the way they are. Love, 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 love. It's everywhere for everybody. All the time. He doesn't have an off button for it. Just on. He's on. He's on. One of the lines in that song said, there's no lie you won't tear down. You know, a lot of us have been living under lies. Lies about who God is, lies about who we are. Now, he's not going to invade your free will. But if you say, God, if there's a lie, would you show me? Because I want the truth. I don't want to live under a lie. I just want to live under truth. You have a part to play in what of that he's exchanged for you, what you live through. You have a part. It's not going to just happen. It's not like we're a bunch of puppets and he's just going to get inside and he'll say, move your arm. Move your arm. We could do a dance, couldn't we? Move your arm. How about this leg? How about, I want you to do that. I want you to do that. No, he lives in us to live his life through us. But we choose. We let him or we don't. The first part of letting him is seeing that beautiful picture. I'm righteous. I am righteous because he said so. Now, one of my brothers is in heaven and the other one's in Texas. I'm not sure what that means. However, if you would have asked either of them, they'd have said, she's not righteous. You know, the people that grew up with you that know your bad attitudes and your bad moods and the bad things you did, to get them to believe that you're righteous is tricky. I don't even know that it's possible. But God says you are. Don't argue with him. He says you are the righteousness of God because you're in Christ Jesus. What a safe place to be. You wonder what's going to happen in the world and what are we going to do to be safe, and do I have to have gallons and gallons of water because you don't know what's going to happen, and do I have to have buckets and buckets of money because you don't know what's going to happen? Man, if you're in him, you're inside and he's in you. You are a union and you are one with the union that has the recipe for manna. That put money in a fish's mouth for Peter. Wow. You think he can't take care of you? Always. Always. Now all things, this is verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, there you go. You're all called to full-time ministry. Because once you know that you know that you know that you have been made righteous, that God forgave all your sin, he took it, he put that nature of Jesus inside of you. If you know that and don't want to tell somebody, I don't think you really know it. Because it's too good to keep to yourself. Because if you know it, you've got his love inside of you. Romans 5, verse 5, I think it is, says the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You don't have to pray for love for somebody. You just have to tap into what's there. It's there. He packed us. He loaded us full with so much good. All we have to do is acknowledge it. Say, thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm not doing a real good job accessing this love right now. Help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Do you know, I was just talking with Hilda about this morning. We asked the Holy Spirit to help us about just silly little things. And do you know how many times he hasn't helped? Zero. Little. I put my earring in this morning and I couldn't find the hole. I don't know where it went. I said, Holy Spirit, please help me. Boonk, right in there. I mean, you think, oh, that's silly. Yeah, you're right, it is. But he cares about all the silly things. See, and he's inside of me and he wants me to depend on him. You know, the more little things like that we ask him to help us for, and it gets like that, you know what that does to your faith? Whoosh! You could believe for anything. He's your helper. He's your helper. Oh. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, this is the ministry you've been given to share. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, calling them accountable for their trespasses. And he has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Reconciliation is restoration to divine favor. It's like going right back to Genesis 1 and 2 that we talked about last week. It's right back to the garden before there was sin. Jesus paid such a price so we could go back there and live like that. I was having some issues with a physical thing, and I was sharing with my husband, and he prays for me the same way he would pray for you. And, oh, how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm not garden quality yet, but I'm getting there. I'm not like I was just born in the Garden of Eden, but I'm on my way, because in there's no sickness. There's no issues. There's no pains. There's no hurts. Are you garden quality? God made us all garden quality. Look around. You're in the garden. We're all garden quality. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is an important verse to know in case you're ever speaking to somebody that says everyone is saved, because it says that God reconciled all things to himself. We have a part to play. He reconciled us to him. Now, we have to be on our part. We have a part to play. We have to believe. We have to receive it. If we don't receive it, we don't have it. That's why we have the ministry to go out and tell people, because if they don't receive it, they don't have it. Even though the price has been paid, even though when God looks at them, he's not holding things against them. If they don't receive what he did, they don't have it. That's a powerful responsibility he's given us. If we would think about this, that we would look at other people differently. We would look at them like, do you know Jesus? You really want to? Give them an opportunity. Give them a chance. Everybody needs him. See, everybody's got that born into them. They just don't know it. They're just looking elsewhere to fill that hole. But that's what that ministry means. And that's what we can do, because we're the righteousness of God. Do you have to wait till you get perfect? I hope not. How many of us would be beamed out of here if God right now took every imperfect person out? In our flesh, if we had to be perfect, we don't have it. I have not met anybody yet. I've met some that I thought were close. But then if you get to know them well enough, long enough, you go, oh, you know, you're just like everybody else. We got stuff. We got issues. Now, verse 21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the great exchange. You are righteous right now. Guaranteed. I don't care what you did this morning. If Jesus is your Lord, you're righteous. You may need to ask him to help you to live it out. I think we all have to do that. Lord, help me. I don't do good at this. And you know how often he'll come to your aid and help you? All the time? Right away? That's just who he is. He cannot help himself. That's what he is. And because he made you righteous, you're complete in him. Complete. You don't need a better friend to make you complete. You don't need a better job. You don't need a different husband or a different wife or even a husband or a wife. You're complete in him. Somebody needed to just relax and be happy with your in himness. You know what I mean? Would somebody write that for Webster's? Because I think it should be your in himness. Embrace it. Yeah, but will that mean I won't get married for you single folks? No. No, that'll mean you'll find the right person because they ought to be in him finding their completeness also. And if you don't find one in that circle of completeness in him, he's the wrong man. She's the wrong woman. There's such gifts he gave us in righteousness. I want to read one more verse that talks about the righteousness, and it's 1 Peter. Chapter 2. It's the scripture we use all the time about healing, that by his stripes you were healed. I'm going to start with verse 23 because this tells us what righteousness looks like. It's talking about Jesus, who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he committed himself to him, being God, who judges righteously. Wow. Let's just take a minute. Anybody been hurt by a person? Commit yourself, like Jesus did, to the Father, and trust that the Father will judge righteously. You don't get to be the judge. You don't want to be the judge. You don't have to be the judge. You wouldn't even be good at it. But God is. And then verse 24, who himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Now, I have to talk to the girl in the mirror sometime and say, do you really live for righteousness? Or is it just part-time? Is it just like after you read the word and you're thinking about it and you feel like it? Holy Spirit, help me to do that all the time. All the time. He took your sins on himself. You know, I couldn't relate with that. And I read about in Philippians about the fellowship, to fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus. And I thought, I don't even know what that means, to fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus. So I looked up, what made Jesus suffer? Our sins made him suffer. The cross made him suffer. So much that blood vessels exploded and he was sweating blood. And he still hadn't been to the cross. So I said, Lord, I don't know if I can share this. I said, okay, Lord, I want to experience. You know when you experience love, God's love? Nobody can take that experience away. When you experience the joy and the peace, nobody can take it away. I said, Lord, I want to experience what it was like for you. I want to know something about this. How do I fellowship with your suffering? And it was here in worship. Carmina was, I think it was, you know, I'm not even sure right now what song it was. I have it written down at home. But I had an instant out-of-body where I was in the courtroom in front of Pilate. Jesus wasn't there. It was just me. He's listed my sins. I had no defense. Zero. You know, we've got the best we have in us stinks. It says in, I think it's Isaiah, that our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's what I had to offer. And here came Jesus. Stood right beside me. He looked at Pilate and he said, I got this. I got set free. He stood and he took my punishment. And every one of yours. That which you deserve. What I deserved. And he didn't just take it and say, now go do the right thing. He took it and said, now I'm going to give you my righteousness so you can live right. You can live like you would have lived in the garden. Garden quality life. You can do that. What a price he paid to give us righteousness. So we should never think of ourselves as anything less than the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you know, the more you think about that, the more you'll act like it. And then when you act like it, you'll start letting it live out of you. If I don't know it, and if I don't speak it, and if I don't receive it, I'll never live it. Never. He's got a standard of life for us to live in that will bring us such joy and peace, fulfillment, satisfaction. And he said, here you go. I want you to see yourself. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You died to sin that you might live for righteousness. That is who you are. All the time. 100% of the time. That's who you are. What a God. What a gift. What a gift from what a God. Wow. Now, as we learn to walk in, accept this righteousness, live in it, and walk in it, the Lord's got some really cool things for us. He said he'll surround the righteous with favor like a shield. That's Psalm 5, verse 12, if you want to look that up and mark it down in your Bible. It says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. That's Psalm 34, verse 15. You can talk to him. He listens to you. He hears you all the time. You'll never have a day that you say, well, you know, the heavens were like solid rock. I just couldn't break through. That's just a lie. That's not true. I don't know whoever said that, but it's a bunch of hooey. Anything happens to you, afflictions come in your life, there's no promise that they won't. But there is a promise that the Lord delivers the righteous out of them all. All. All means all. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. You know what? When you receive that righteousness and it gets to be part of who you are, it's going to come out of your mouth when you speak to others. You're going to bring that life to them. Ah, how about this one? The thoughts of the righteous are right. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Now there's something we can all relate with because nobody can read your thoughts except God. And some of us would be so humiliated and embarrassed if there was a screen that displayed them or wrote them out. But you know, when we declare our righteousness in Him, it changes even how we think. Our thought life will get cleaned up. How about being timid? The righteous are as bold as a lion. You get boldness. Why? There's nothing against you. There's no condemnation. Jesus paid for all your sins. God's not holding anything against you. You're not going to get to heaven and He's going to say, pay up before you come in. Jesus paid up so we could come in. Wow. What a God. What a God. Peace. Oh, dear me. How about peace? Who couldn't use a dose of peace right now? Peace in your life, in your heart, in your mind. Romans 5, verse 1. Been my favorite for quite a while. Therefore, having been justified or made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! I have peace with God. Oh my goodness gracious. You might not have peace with your neighbor. You might not have peace with everybody in your family. But you can have peace with God. And the more you live in that peace that you have with God, it's going to flow out to your neighborhood and to your family. Wow. What a precious, precious gift. Romans 5, verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one. Now the one man was Adam, you know. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So, here's the gift. It's really big. It's really big. It's wrapped beautifully. You've all been given a gift. It came with your salvation. Have you opened it? You know, sometimes we Christians just get so lazy. We think, God can do it. He can just give it to me. He gave it to you, honey. Open it. Well, couldn't He just, you know? No. This is a relationship. He's not pulling your strings. Open your gift. Open your gift of righteousness. How do you open your gift of righteousness? By meditating on the truth. By meditating on the scriptures that talk about your righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, and it's verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. What are you going to be filled with? Righteousness. Do you hunger? Now that word hunger means to be famished. To seek with eager desire. Are you famished and seeking with eager desire His righteousness? You don't have to answer. And thirsty. It's like you're in the desert. You've seen the picture. Crawling. Oh, I need water. Here we are. I need righteousness. God, I need to know how righteous I am. I really need to know what You did for me. I need to understand this. I don't get it. I don't want to abuse Your gift, God. Help me. You have to go after it. He guarantees you will be filled. You see what this word does? It shows us who we are, but it removes every excuse. Because He tells us what He's given us and He tells us what to do. He tells us this is a gift and this is how you get it. And if we don't go after it, it's our fault. Amen. We want to go after it. It's precious. It cost Jesus everything. Wow. What a God. What a Savior. I just really sense the Holy Spirit right now. You need a moment just to talk with him. Maybe you just have to fess up and say, I have never hungered and thirsted for this. I'm sorry and I want to. Help me. It's that easy. It's that easy. His eyes are on you. His ears are open to your prayer, but you've got to say it. You've got to. Speak it out of your heart. I know he's here answering. You felt like you don't have a relationship with him that other people do? Tell him you want your special you and him relationship. Don't measure it by anybody else's. It's just for you. It's just for you. Could I have the prayer ministers, please? If you've been seeking and you didn't even know what you were seeking for, come up and share with one of the prayer ministers. Let them be in agreement with you. You're really seeking for him. I can tell you what you're seeking for. You're seeking for more of him, and he'll give you everything. You will never, ever, ever, ever be sorry. I guarantee you, you will not be sorry. Jesus, Jesus paid big time for us to have peace in our heart that comes from his righteousness. Wow. Just receive it. Grab it. Grab it. Go after it. Do a word study on righteousness and look up all the scriptures and meditate on them. Put yourself in there. And when it says something really good like the thoughts of the righteous are right, if that's not you, don't go on to the next verse. Talk to the Lord and say, that's not me. My thoughts are not right. Help me. Talk to him when you get to these scriptures and you go, that's not in my life. Talk to him. He is willing to help all the time. Well, Father, there's no lie you won't tear down. And if we've been believing any lie about righteousness and our righteousness that you have gifted to us, Lord, help each person here to admit it, if that's them. Acknowledge it and go on and open the gift and put on the robe and be your son and be your daughter. Lord, I thank you that they can walk in peace with you. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Now, if you have any other prayer request for anything, maybe you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You really want to. And you know you do. Come up and see one of the prayer ministers. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week. I love you. You're righteous. Wow.